morning. It's a very sad morning for us, and we will dedicate this year, as the previous one was, to the memory of Ari Weiss, Hashem Yinkom Damo. Quite a tragedy that has befallen the Weiss family. We all know Rabbi Weiss's wife Susie and the whole family. I'm also going to make a suggestion, and maybe following in the footsteps of Rabbi Adler, I think it would be a very good idea for each one of you to come with a chumash that has Rashi. I don't care if it's big, it's small, it has vowels, it doesn't have vowels, but a chumash with Rashi. It'll save me a lot of effort, and it'll also assist you in becoming more conversant with the with Chumash and Rashi, which is really the purpose of this all. So most probably for the next week or two, most probably I'll still assume that you haven't done your homework, but I'll be after maybe we'll even bring some suggested texts. I've taken a difficult part of the parsha, for that matter, in Parshat Bereshit. Every part of the parsha is difficult, but certainly the first murder that takes place on the face of this earth, a brother who kills his brother, is certainly something that would make news even today. It certainly makes news when we're talking about the children of first men. On one side you have the text of the Chumash, the beginning of chapter 4, for Ha'odom Yoda et Chava Ishto, man knew his wife Chava, Batar Batelet et Kayin, she became pregnant, she gave birth to Kayin, Batomer, and she said, Koniti Ish et Hashem, I have acquired a man with God. Number of times in the past years we've talked about V'ha'odam yoda, that man knew. It's not a matter of using some kind of a euphemistic means of saying that they had sexual relations. V'ha'odam yoda is because Torah is defining for us the sexual relationship as part of yediyah. You have to know somebody before you can love them. Knowing is to love. And there are many places in Tanakh, or certainly a number of places in Tanakh, where the word yada means to truly know the essential nature of another person, and therefore to love. It says that Elkanah knew his wife Chana. He had not understood the depth of her feelings until that day that they were in Shiloh. When he finally learned how deeply she wants to have a child, and he didn't recognize that. And ultimately, Elkanah knew his wife Hannah. In Parshat Vayera, we're going to have when God says, "Will I not reveal to Avram that I plan on destroying Sodom and Amorah?" Ki yedatev, because I know him, leman asher yitzave es bonov es beis arachov, that he's going to command his house after him, that they should keep the ways of justice and righteousness of God. So Rashi says, yedatev, I love him. I know Avram Avinu well. Most probably, if by Lech Lecho, we'll already talk a little bit more about Avram Avinu, because especially after 4,000 years, that it took 4,000 years for Avraham Avinu to make it onto the cover of Time magazine. Understand? Some people make it in a few years. Avraham Avinu, Abraham is in. Abraham is to be part of the Abrahamic family. And, you know, it's one of those families. Everybody wants to get in on the act. Everybody wants to be part of the family. But the Rebbe Yishmael says, Yedatif, I love him because I know that he's going to command his children after him to keep the way of God, and we are those children. Anyway, she gave birth to Cain. Va'tosef lo ledes es achiv es Havel. She gave birth to his brother Hevel. Va'yehi Hevel roet son. Hevel was a shepherd. V'Cain hayoved adama, and Cain worked the earth. One was a shepherd and one was a farmer. Just let's notice the fact that it says Va'tosef lo ledes es achiv es Havel. Why does it have to say his brother Hevel? Wouldn't we assume that if she gives birth now to another boy, the two boys are brothers? It doesn't take much genius to know that. And there's going to be meaning to this. Vayimi Kates Yonu, and it came to pass after a period of time had gone by, Vayavei Kayin Mitri Hadoma Minchal Hashem, Kayin brought from the fruit of the earth a gift to God, a sacrifice. Vehevel Hevi Gamhu, Midachorot Sono Mechel Vehen, and Hevel also brought from the best of his sheep and from their fat or good, luscious parts. Vayisha Hashem El Hevel Vel Minchoto, and God turned with favor to Hevel and his sacrifice. Vel Kayin Vel Minchato Lo Shoa, God did not turn to Kayin and to his sacrifice. Vayichal Kain Miod, Kain was very angry. Vayiplu Ponov, and his face was fallen. And we're going to have to understand what is the difference between Vayichal Kain Miod, his anger, and his fallen face. He is crestfallen. Vayor Hashem El Kain, and God said to Kain, Loma Chorolach, Voloma Naflu Panecha. God, of course, takes notice of two emotions or feelings that overwhelm Cain. There is anger and there is his being crestfallen. Why is this so, God says? And here we come to one of the most difficult psukim in Chumash. Halo im teitiv. We're going to explain it at this point simply. Halo im teitiv. If you will mend your way, se'et, meaning either you will be upraised or your sin will be carried. God is no say avon. He carries and forgives sin. V'im lo teitiv, but if you're not going to mend your ways, la petach hatat roveitz, there the sin crouches by your doorstep. Ve'lechot shukato, and you have a desire for sin. But v'atat timsholbo, the good news in this pasuk is, man has the power to rule over his evil inclination. We're not simply like putty in the hands of the Yetzer Hara. We are capable of transcending him. Here comes, of course, another extremely difficult pasuk. And Cain said to his brother Hevel, what? Doesn't say what he said to him. The Medrash, of course, is going to put in what seems to be missing here. Pasuk doesn't tell us what Cain said, what kind of conversation was taking place there. Vayihi b'hiyotam basedan, it came to pass while they were in the field. Vayokam Cain el Hevel achiv vayahargeyu, Cain rose up against his brother Hevel and he killed him. I had once explained the Vayomer Cain el Hevel achiv, Cain said to his brother Hevel, and then nothing, we're not told what he said, that there may be a great deal of significance in and of itself. In other words, without the Medrash, we're going to get to the Medrash that's going to tell us, they had a great deal to talk about. There was quite a discussion, a struggle, a verbal struggle that was taking place between the two. But it may very well be that the Torah wants to tell us that when Cain spoke to his brother Hevel, there was no communication taking place. He's not talking to him, he's talking at him. There are times that two people can be speaking to one another, and you know what? The people are speaking to themselves. Because there's no real conversation going on over here. There is no masa umatan. Nobody really wants to negotiate or talk things out. And therefore the pasuk wants to tell us that when the ultimate crime is going to be committed, it means that there was no communication and there was no means of communication. There were no lines open, And therefore, what's going to happen at the end of such a situation has got to be murder. There will be just a destruction of the other, because nobody's talking. Everybody talks about talking. Everybody talks about negotiating. Everybody negotiates about talking. But there are not too many people who are negotiating or talking sincerely with the other. There are things that people can say to one another, and they say it in what seems to be the greatest of sincerity, and they don't mean a single word. They don't plan from day one to keep a single promise that they have made. So it looks like communication. If there are people who want to fool themselves into thinking that meaningful communication has taken place, it can be a terrible illusion, and that illusion can ultimately, unfortunately, bring to the death of the one who is living this illusion. But we're going to see not only the problems of Cain over here, we're going to see what was Hevel's problem. Hevel also has a problem here. But of course, there has to be something instructive about the first murder that takes place on the face of this earth so early into history, and yet the murder is committed by the son of one who was himself fashioned by God in his image. Unbelievable story. The only problem with the story of Cain and Hevel is we learn it when we're little children, and we're like, you know, yeah, Cain and Hevel, talking about it. It's awesome, it's frightening, it's terrifying, especially as we will see a lot of the same motives. The same motives are those that move men today as they moved Cain in his day. Another few psukim. Vayomer Hashem el Cain, God said to Cain, Ei Hevel Ochicha, where is your brother Hevel? Vayomer, he says, Lo Yadati. I don't know. Unbelievable. You know what this Lo Yadati, you know what this Lo Yadati means? That a man who certainly knows he was created by God in the image of God has already learned to reject God. With this statement, in addition to the fact that he has killed his brother, Cain simply has become, let's call him, the first atheist. I mean, things were not so calm on the face of this earth until then, but certainly, no, he thinks God doesn't know, and he can pull the wool over his eyes. Lo yadati, Hashem erachi anochi, even worse, am I thy brother's keeper? Vayomer, God said, Me'al sita, what have you done? Called me'al chicha tzarki me'laimin adama, the voice, the sound of your brother's blood cries out to me from the earth. Now, you are cursed from this earth that has opened her mouth to take the blood of your brother from your hand. You will work the earth. It will not give its strength to you. Nova noti yabarat, you're going to be a stranger and a wanderer in the land. Let's turn over to next side, and we'll begin to analyze what's going on over here. I don't know why, you know, I think when I'm out of things, I just I didn't number the sources. Like I said, it's been a little crazy lately. But at the top right hand side, there's a medrash. The medrash is extremely significant, because the medrash is that which takes the story of Cain and Hevel and gives it a global dimension that is really part of all time. Vayomer Cain el Hevel Ochir Vayehi Bihiyotam Hasadeh. And Cain said to his brother Hevel, and they were in the field. You know what's bothering the Medrash? Precisely the question that bothers all of us when we come to this passage. What were they talking about? What did Cain say to Hevel? What an amazing passage. And Cain said to Hevel, doesn't tell us what? Al ma hayu middainin, the Medrash asked, what were they discussing? Amru, they said, Bo, v'nachaloket ha'olam, let's divide the world. So they divided the world. Echad natalat ha'karkaot, one took the earth, the real estate. Ve'echad natalat ha'metautlin, and one took the movable objects. Dein Omar, the one who took the real estate, and in this case, of course, we know who took what. It's Cain who takes the real estate. He's the one who works the earth. He's the one who brings the fruit of the earth. So he says, Dein Omar, this one said, Arod da'at koyim aleididi. The earth upon which you stand is mine. Get off my property. You're trespassing. Ze'amar ha'aretz asher ata umed oleh ashaliyu. The Dein Omar. And Hebel told him, you're wearing, what are you wearing? You're wearing, skins or something? That's mine. Take it off. Da'at lovish, what you are wearing, didi. Masha talovei shaliyu. Dein Omar chalotz. Dein Omar perach. One said to the other, take off your clothing. And the other one said, go fly. Prach, fly, get off my property. Mitoch kach, as they're discussing this, probably not too calmly, Vayakum Cain, El Hevel Ochiv, Vayahargeyu. Cain stood up against his brother Hevel, and he killed him. First opinion in the Medrash. Second opinion in the Medrash. Rabbi Yehoshua de Sachnin, the shame Rabbi Levi Amar. Rabbi Yeshua of Sachnin said in the name of Rav Levi, Shneim not luat ha-karkaot, Shneim not luat ha-metautlin. The division was an equal one. They divided all of the land, and they divided all of the movable objects. Valma hayu midainin, what were they discussing? Elazer omer, this one says, B'tchumi beit ha-migdash yibaneh. It's on my property that the Beit HaMikdash will be built. V'zer omer, and the other one says, "Bitchumi Beit Hamikdash Yibaneh." Within my property, the Beit Hamikdash is going to be built. Shenema, where do you see it in the pasuk? Because it says right after, "Vayomer Kayin El Hevel Ochiv." It says, "Vayehi Behiyotam Basadeh." They were in the field. Ve'in Sadeh El Beit Hamikdash. Sadeh is the Beit Hamikdash, as it says, "Tzion." Sodeh Teichoresh, Tzion is going to be plowed under like a field. Umitoch kach, as they're talking about this topic, Vayakom Kayin el Hevel Ochiv Vayahargeyu, Kayin rose up against his brother Hevel and he killed him. The third opinion of the Medrash, Yehuda Barab Ami Amar, Al Chavo Hodishona Hoyu Midainin. They were talking, in a sense, let's make it clear. Who gets Chava? They both wanted Chava. I know it's bothering you. I know it's bothering you. So obviously the Medrash is going to have to be understood. That's why I'm here. There is another text in the Medrash where the Medrash says that there was a girl born with Hevel. There were two girls born with Hevel and one with Cain. And Cain wanted the second girl that was born with Hevel. If you don't understand that, that's also okay. Obviously, what the Medrash is telling us here, and this is already said, has been said by many over the generations, all wars since time immemorial, wars had been fought for three reasons. Wars are fought over land. Wars are fought over land. We know about that. We know about that. We know about that most probably better than most other people on the face of this earth, but go wherever you want. Hitler Yimach Shemai, his war with the world was a war over land. He wanted to conquer the world. Stalin wanted to conquer the world. Germany and France fought each other for hundreds of years over the Rhineland. The Second World War sort of started because of the Sudetenland or the Polish Canada. The Japanese and the Russians, you understand, Russia doesn't have enough land, so and they were fighting about some piece of land. I don't know when communist China, nationalist China are going to start fighting about the offshore islands over there. What are the names of those islands? I forgot. Huh? Who? Kimoyamatsu. Yes, Kimoyamatsu and Matsu, that's right. Those two. When did Great Britain, its most powerful and mighty act, when they. What was that island down there? Huh? The Falkland Islands, the Falkland Islands. You know, you have to be a shtickle goon and have a greiser kop to be able to remember all of these insignificant little places on the face of this earth about which great powers go to war. There was land. I mean, of course, land also represents wealth, and land represents power, and land represents prestige. Everybody sees a certain amount of prestige. This is mine, and it's not yours, and that's how the first murder, what the Medrash is doing is the Medrash is saying that this is really first murder is first war, and all wars are about this. And when we say, as I say again, when we talk about land, it means everything that goes with it: power, prestige, money, all the rest. The second, one of the great reasons that there have been wars over the centuries, through the millennia, is religion. Religion. So many wars have been fought in the name of religion. So many. I mean, I'm not even talking about the Crusades or the Catholics and the Protestants in Ireland, or the Hindus and the Muslims that are killing themselves all over the world, or Muslims who are going out to wage a war against the entire West and the Christian world. We're talking about, if anything, we are now living in a time where it's possible either that the two great powers, in other words, the powers in the world today.
That's a power.
By the way, I did want to say at the beginning of the class that I have my cell phone here, and I wanted you to see what it looks like to have a cell phone that's turned off. See? Last night, before Aviva's class, I warned everybody, because you can imagine Aviva, she would just get so upset. And the fact is that my parents did live without a cell phone. I'll take you one step further. For a good part of their lives, they lived without a phone. And I'll tell you, what can I do without a phone? I can do it. The second idea that is expressed in the Medrash is that the battle was a battle of religions. And the beautiful metaphor of the Medrash, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be in my part of the world. Or, well, is it going to be Rome? Is it going to be Jerusalem? Is it going to be Mecca? Or those who have Mecca and Rome want Jerusalem too? Or everybody wants Jerusalem. The only ones who are told, prach, fly away from here, we're the ones that are told, prach. Religion has always been a major factor. I mean, and the fact is, when you think about it, all of the religions accept the Torah as a basic part of the lives, and you know everybody is against, you know, thou shalt not kill, and the billions who've been killed in the name of religion. And of course, the third, the Medrash is saying the truth. All that the Medrash is saying in this third is that the struggle over a woman can very well be the reason for great battles, or a woman in the background. No insult meant it, but this is a fact. We most probably don't even have a clue to what extent women have been the reason behind major struggles in world history. Medrash is open. Medrash is clear. These are the three causes, and all three of them converge in this one so-called conversation that's taking place between Cain and Hevel. There's another very fascinating idea that I want to elaborate on, and it really explains one word. In that pasuk that says, Vayomer Cain el Hevel Ochiv, Vayihi Bihiyotam Asadeh, they were in the field, Vayokom Cain got up, El Hevel Ochiv, to his brother Hevel, Vayahargehu, and he killed him. The Medrash is troubled by the word Vayokom, and he got up. It could have said they were in the field, Vayarog Cain et Hevel, and Cain killed Hevel. So if you'll take a look at the Medrash toward the middle of the page, between right and left, in the big letters, Omer Rab Yochanan, Hevel ho-yogibor mi-Kayin. Now you have to listen to this Medrash, and the Mephoshim of the Medrash, and the way the Orach Chaim sees this in the Pasha. Hevel ho-yogibor mi-Kayin, Hevel was stronger than Kayin. She'en Talmud Loma Vayokom. Otherwise, why does it have to say that Kayin got up? Cain got up means that Hevel must have been the one who's holding him down. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Hevel ha-yogibor mi-Cain, Hevel was stronger than Cain. She'en Talmud Loma Vayokom, because there's no point to saying he got up, Elo Malamed. It comes to teach us, Shehayanatun Tachtav. The struggle had begun, and Hevel is the one who's holding Cain down. He has Cain. Amalo. So Cain says to Hevel, you know, he's down for the count of 10, around 9. Cain says to Hevel, Shneinu ba'olam, the two of us are alone in the world. Ma'at holich va'omel la'aba, what are you going to go tell Tata? What are you going to go tell Father? You're going to kill me. And then what are you going to do? Nismali olav rachamim. So Hevel became full of compassion for Cain. Miyad. So he let go. He lifted the siege. Miyad. Immediately, Omar Olav Vaharago. He got up against him and he killed him. Min tamon inun amrin. Here in Aramaic, the Medrash says, from here we say, this is why people say, Tav Lebish, Lot Tavid, good to a bad person, don't do. Ubish lo yim telach, so no evil will befall you. Don't be too good to bad people. And if you're not going to be good to bad people, no harm will befall you. Cain prepared a trap for Hevel. And Hevel fell into the trap. He started negotiating with him. An end to all wars. There will no longer be any bloodshed. Our grandchildren will live in peace. And Hevel bought this Hevel. And it cost him his life. On the very left-hand side, one of the Mepharshim of the Medrash, She'en Talmud Loma Vayokom. The only reason why you have the word Vayokom is to tell us that Hevel was holding Cain down, and then Cain gets up. L'landeinu Rish'as Cain. It comes to teach us the evil of Cain. U'lelamed, and to teach us the Tav Lebish Lo Tavid. By the way, if you learn this Aramaic and you throw it at people, you'll really leave a profound impression. Tav Lebish Lo Tavid. Tav, good. To Bish, to a bad person, don't do. Umidlo Ktiv Al Hevel Ela El Dorash Bishvil Hevel Shidichama. The Medrash is also saying, he's also saying something else. The pasuk said, "Vayom Cain el Hevel Achiv, Vayokom Cain el Hevel Achiv." So he says the fact that it says el is placing the blame on Hevel, it doesn't mean that Cain stood up all over Hevel. You know who's guilty of it all? All the guilt is El Hevel Achiv. Hevel is guilty. You lifted the siege, there was another pigua. You have Rachmanis, you paid for it. For every act of Rachmanis, you're going to pay. Unbelievable that we learned this by the first murder. And the one who elaborates on this more than anyone else is the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And I have two sections of the Or HaChaim because he turns it into a theme of this parasha. A theme of the parasha, how does one deal with evil? How does one deal with evil? This is a serious problem. A problem that has plagued humanity throughout all time. And we're living it today. We're living it every day. On the left-hand side, there are two pieces. Pasuk Bet and Pasuk Hey. Now, Tosef, the first time he mentions it, it says that Chava gave birth to another child, Batosef. Batosef, Pasuk 2 said, Batosef loledet et achiv et havel. She then also gave birth to his brother Hevel, and Hevel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer. So the Or HaChaim says the following: Tam shehutzrak lomar et achiv lo tzara. I had asked this question when we learned the pasuk. If Chava gives birth to another boy, I think we can extrapolate from that without too much genius necessary. That if she gives birth to a second boy, the two boys are what? To one another? They're brothers, right? So why does the pasuk have to say Tam Shehutzrak Lomar et Achiv Lelo Tzarev? The reason why the pasuk had to say his brother unnecessarily, Gam Herich Lomar Pamayim Tevat Et. It says Batosef Loledet Et Achiv Et Hevel. What do I need it twice? The pasuk could simply have said Batosef Loledet Hevel. Finished. Al derech omram zal. It fits in with what our rabbi said. Ki acha shenitzach havel l'kayin. After Hevel had been victorious over Cain, v'hipilo, and he toppled him, richem olav Hevel. Hevel had rachmanis on him. V'kamei olav, and he got up from being holding Cain down. V'achakach kam Cain, and then Cain got up and killed Hevel v'harago and killed him. V'husha ramaz, this is what the pasuk is referring to when it says es achiv. Perush, ki nohag hu im Cain b'midat ha'achva kanizgar. Hevel's problem was he treated from his very birth, he had brotherhood in his neshama. And that brotherhood that he has in his neshama is going to be his undoing. You have to know when to use brotherhood and when not to use brotherhood. Ki nohag hu in Cain b'midat ha'achva kanizgar. He conducted himself with Cain like a brother. Avol Cain nohagimo b'lo achva ela ka'odam acher. Cain conducted himself with Hevel as though he's dealing with a stranger, not like a brother. V'hu omro. That's why it says et Hevel b'lo achva v'lazeh hifsig be'ed bed. Now he says that she gave birth et achiv to his brother, et hevel, to tell us Hevel's problem is that he looks at Cain as achiv. Cain's problem is that he looks at Hevel as just Hevel, somebody else, totally unrelated to him. And that's where you get the great tragedy. Let's go to the next piece. Vayome Cain el Hevel achiv, in the pasuk that we have been talking about. They're in the field. Vayom Cain el Hevel achiv. Cain said to his brother Hevel, and then they're in the field and he kills him. Pedesh, you know what he said to him while he was down on the ground? Amalo dvar achva. As he's holding him down, so Cain looks up and he says, Hevel, we're brothers. Isn't that what Rabbi Yochanan said in the Medrash? What are you going to go tell Abba? You understand? What are you going to tell Abba? We're brothers. We're the only two in the world. What are you going to do, Hevel? Hevel, of course, melts away when he hears Kayin referring to him as a brother. Do you know what that does to Hevel? Hevel feels, Mama, we're brothers. So he says, Litzad shekodam I love sibata sinam machmat kina. The reason for Kayin's hatred was because of jealousy. Yargish Hevel may emtzaut ha-davar she-yisne'ehu. Now listen to this very carefully. Very, very carefully. You know what's going on in Kayin's mind? In Kayin's mind, what's going on in his mind is the following. He knows that Hevel is wary of him. Because he knows that Hevel knows, get the name straight, Hevel knows that Kayin is being consumed by jealousy. And jealousy that consumes leads to hatred. Therefore, Kayin assumes that since Hevel knows that I hate him, he's going to be on guard. He's going to watch every step that I make. What I have to do, Kayin thinks, is to remove all of Hevel's hesitations. He should look at me in a completely different light. He can let down his defenses. So therefore, he says like this, V'yaskil he shomei mimenu, since he knows that I hate him, he's going to be very wise to be careful of me. Asher alkein omar elav ha'achva, therefore, what Kayin now does is he takes a whole new tack. The tack is that he talks about brotherhood. And he says, ki lo nolad blivo sino machmas hadovo litzad kinato. Yes, it's true, I'm jealous of you, that God accepted your sacrifice and didn't accept mine, but I don't hate you. Oh, no, we're brothers. Why does Kayin say this? Petamo, the reason is, kedei lahaminbo letachlit kavanato. The only reason he talks to him about brotherhood is so that Hevel should believe him that he holds and bears no grudge, there's no hatred. And what's the purpose of it all? So he should let down his defenses. He should not be on guard. La'apilo b'mich moret ha'katuv achaze. In order to, he should fall into the trap that the pasuk says right afterwards. V'lachein nidchakei mafsik psukim she'osa piska ve'eno piska. The pasuk says in pasuk shalachra. I'm not precisely certain what the Orachaya means over here. It may very well mean that sort of the pasuk seems to be a composite of two psukim, because the Vayomer Kayin El Hevel Achiv does not continue, and the whole purpose is, you know, what he's answering over here, he's really answering that question. What was our question? That we've given a number of answers to it. What did Kayin say to Hevel? Vayomer Kayin El Hevel Achiv. What did he say? So the... Oh, that's what he said. Vayomer Kayin El Hevel, the Arachayim learns, Kayin said to Hevel, Achiv, we're brothers. Oi, and Hevel hears we're brothers and our children are going to live in peace. No more bloodshed, no more nothing. This Hevel, well, probably who feels this great sense of brotherhood and wants to be part of the family of nations, he simply melts away. And he lifts the siege. And he pays the ultimate price. Can there be a Medrash and Mefarshim more contemporary and more relevant than this? And somehow or other, the Orachayim, who lived in Eretz Yisrael and died here 200 years ago and is buried on Har HaZeisim, had a unique way of taking a pasuk. And I don't even know what he was thinking of in his days. Well, probably history hasn't changed that much. And the same problems... it's similar to... which year was it, I think, in the Hoshana Rabbah night year, I quoted from the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, and I didn't know when Rav Soloveitchik had written that, 30 or 40 years ago, where he says that the first mitzvah that every Jew has there is a collective mitzvah, and the collective mitzvah is that we always have to be on guard. Our greatest responsibility is to make sure for the safety and security of every Jew throughout the world, wherever he may be. And he says, step one in assuring the safety and security of Jews throughout the entire world is to take seriously any threat, even if it be a threat in concealment. Our responsibility as Jews is to take any threat seriously. And if we don't take it seriously, then we simply have fallen down on the job, which is our most significant and most important task, which is to protect the Jewish people. And by saying, he said this, it's zerak diburim, it's nothing, it's being said for private consumption. No, we have to take everything seriously. If we would have taken threats seriously, millions of Jews would still be alive today. And then he says further that the responsibility of every person is to act in order to protect the safety and security of Jews, and anybody who does not will be held liable before the ultimate court of justice. And the third, I imagine most probably on the Kisei HaKavod, the Rebbein Shlom most probably has a bumper sticker that says, certain poshim will, all poshim will be brought ledin. Anybody who did not protect the life and limb of Jews will be judged. And then he also says, if you're not going to do your job, you can be certain of one thing. The Rebbein Shlom has others who will do it. Somebody is going to be the one who is going to save Klal Yisrael. And here it is, the Or HaChaim is telling us so clearly, have to be on guard. Hevel accepted the nonsense that was being said by Cain, the nonsense of the brotherhood. It was the handshake in the field, and it cost him his, he paid for it with his life. Sufurno. By the way, just this morning I saw another idea that it's expressed in a sefer called Hegyonot El Ami. The author of Hegyonot El Ami was Moshe Avigdor Amiel, who was one of the first Rabbanim HaRashim of Tel Aviv, Yafo. It was written, published anyway, in 1936. And he says that one of the things that emerges from this whole story is that sometimes strange as it may seem, it's the Yetzer Tov that is used by the Yetzer Hara to bring destruction upon a human being. How does it all start? Cain brings a sacrifice. The Ramban says what a great man Cain was. He knew the secret of sacrifice. Who's the one who initiates the sacrifice over here? It's not Hevel. Hevel's not the first one. Cain. Vayehi miketz yamim. Let's look at those psukim again. Vayehi miketz yamim, pasuk gimel. And it came to pass after an end of a period of time, vayavei Cain. Who's the first one that brings the sacrifice? Who's expressing his closeness to God? Who is bringing this act of service and worship? Who? Was he commanded by God to bring sacrifice? No, he obviously has learned that there's a way to come close to God, and that's through sacrifice. He initiates it. And he brought me pri hadara, mincha Hashem. The hevel hevi gamhu. Hevel see, hevel do. Hevel sees Cain bringing a sacrifice, so he brings. But by Hevel it says, he brought me b'choros tzono, from the best of his sheep, u'meichel dehen, and the fatty, the good ones. There was a difference in kind, the quality of the sacrifice. And the quality of the sacrifice, therefore, is an indication of the quality of one's relationship. You know, what the what the Yarkami understand gives away Friday afternoon. That's what Hevel brought as a Kayan brought as a sacrifice. Good, good. You're keeping me on the straight now. Good, good. And Hevel brought something that even El Gaucho would use for a steak, you understand? Brought a good, good animal. The beautiful, the best. It obviously shows a difference in the relationship. He thinks, you know, listen, sacrifice is important and a relationship with God is important, but you don't have to be a spendthrift when it comes to it. You know? Something that I couldn't do anything else with, so you... it was a terrible thing that Kayan did. So what happens here? He's upset. Now, he's being upset, and this is what God's going to teach him. You can do something. Not all is lost. You know what you can do? You can be jealous of Hevel. But even jealousy, there's kinas sofrim tarbechachma. The jealousy of one who is maybe more learned can become a motivating force. I want to learn more. I want to know more. I want to do more mitzvahs. I want to do more chesed. Take a look at what she does. I can do as much as she can. Jealousy can become a powerful, positive force in the life of a human being. Jealousy can also become a terribly destructive force. The question is, what do you do with the jealousy? And this is why God appears to him. Why are you angry? Why are you crestfallen? Why are you angry? Why are you crestfallen? Yes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is telling him, Nafu Panecha is a step after Chorolacha. Chorolacha means he's angry. What's he angry about? God accepted Hevel's sacrifice, didn't accept mine. And maybe Cain thinks to himself, I'm more worthy that my sacrifice should be received and accepted, because Cain sees himself as being even closer to God. The next step, if this jealousy is not channeled into something positive, then it's going to become terribly negative. And you know what it's going to bring to? It's going to bring to despair. Naflu panecha is despair. Why are you despairing? You can change everything. You can bring better sacrifices. You can make all sorts of attempts at coming closer to God. It's not all over. So you fell once. You didn't do the right thing once. So what? Man is man. Not only can man fall, but man can rise. Man can rise. Therein lies his greatness. He can rise. And this is the whole message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him. Never despair. Cain, I don't know how long it'll take you, but you can certainly become closer to me, as close as you want to be. If he's angry that he is distanced from God, this is already an indication of his greatness. It upsets him. You know, we can go through our life not really knowing or caring, but Cain knew and he cared that he was distanced from God, that God does not turn to accept his sacrifice. So that difficult pasuk, Halloween Tativ, you can take this force that now consumes you, the passion of jealousy, and say it, you can use it in order to raise you. Boy, what jealousy can accomplish. Every time I hear about another fellow that finished Shas for the 10th time or the 20th, I want to do it though. What are you talking about? Don't we all have that feeling? I mean, there are people who do good works. There are a lot of good people around. An abundance of good people. So how do you look at that goodness? Is it a jealousy that uplifts, or is it a jealousy that becomes consuming and destructive? That's what the parsha is all about. Let's go back to a number of our sources. Someplace over here I have on the right hand side the Seferno. Lama Chorolecha. God says to Cain, why are you angry? So I think we, in a number of shurim over the year, years, we have pointed out that the word chorolecha, that term, means an inner anger. There are two kinds of anger. There is an anger that is pointed outward, and then there's an anger inward. Rachel says to Yaakov, Havoli bonim, give me children, v'im ayin, and if not, meisa anochi, I'm dead. So it says, Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Yaakov got angry with Rachel. Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, the burning bush for 7 days, keeps turning the Rabbeinu Shalom down. No, I don't want to go. Finally, on the last day, when Moshe has run out of excuses, and he says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Shlach no biyad tishlach, send anybody you want to send, which obviously, of course, means I don't want to go. Why don't you want to go? Because, kacha, or for emphasis, kacha, kacha, I don't want to go. So then it says, Vayichar af Yaakov, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. God got angry with Moshe. It's anger that is expressed outward. In Parashat Korach, when Dasan v'Aviram respond to Moshe's call by saying, you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey. You took us out of Auschwitz and Treblinka, a land flowing with milk and honey, and you haven't brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey. So it says, Vayichar l'Moshe ma'od. Moshe was very angry, and Rashi says, Nitzta'er ab l'ma'od. He was very pained. What's Rashi trying to tell us? Moshe is not going to waste his anger on Dasan v'Aviram. It doesn't say, Vayichar af Moshe v'Dasan v'Aviram. Moshe got angry with Dasan v'Aviram. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of anger. But Moshe Rabbeinu, who more than anything else in the world wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Avas Chalav Edvash, and they refer to Mitzrayim as the promised land, that's enough to cause anybody a great deal of pain. Vayichar, Cain is angry. We're talking about an inner anger. Loma chorolecha. God asks him, why are you angry? V'loma kineita ba'achicha k'do'eg asher kibalti karbanot b'ratzon. Why were you jealous of your brother and you're all worried about the fact that I accepted his sacrifice willingly? V'loma naflu panecha. And the second question that God asks him is, why is your face fallen? If something's gone wrong, but it has a means of correction, there's a way to correct it. It's not worth crying or being pained about something that happened in the past. If something happened, then there's nothing you can do about it, never. And there's a great deal of pain. But if something's happened, and you can do something about it. What you have to do is put in every effort in order that you should correct the future. So what are you getting upset about? The Rebbeinu Shem really here is establishing the idea upon which a whole world rests, the idea of tshuva. I can go ahead and I can correct it. I can start all over again. I can intensify and deepen my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he's really telling him is, take that jealousy, and don't let it end there. Let the jealousy become that which will propel you to much greater heights. On the difficult pasuk, we'll just go through this Malbim. Hello, God tells him, Im teitiv se'et. V'im lo teitiv la pertach. I got it right. Im teitiv v'im lo teitiv la pertach hatat rovet ve'lecho tshukato v'atat timsholvo. So here, this is the passage where we said is, first of all, the idea of tshuva is established over here, and second, the fact that man has the ability to struggle, overcome, and vanquish his evil inclination. So the Malbim says the following: Hello, gila losh. And he goes one giant step further. Gila lo shein chefetz l'Hashem b'mincha. You know what he's telling him now? For the first time, this is the first time a sacrifice is brought, and God wants to tell him, sacrifice is not the be-all and the end-all. That's not the goal. God doesn't need your sacrifice. Rakine shemoa mizevak tov. Shmuel said that to Shaul. To listen is better than bring. Listen to God is better than bringing a sacrifice. The ikar hu shetetiv ma'asecha. The most important thing is that you should correct your deeds. Lo hatavat hamatzeit v'hamincha. What he wants to tell him now is don't make the mistake of thinking, you know, you'll go ahead and you're going to bring a second sacrifice. And this time you're going to bring the shens, the grapes, and the most beautiful vimonim, v'regnish, like the world didn't say. You never saw such beauty he's going to bring. So he says, that's not really what I'm looking for. Lo hatavat hamaseh v'hamincha. Not making the gift and the sacrifice better. Mashateitiv hamaseh lo yedotze b'eina. You're making the gift better is not going to make a difference. Ki beinim teitiv hamaseh. Ubeinim lo teitiv. Ein bazeh shum ma'ala. Acha shele petach roveitz hachatat v'katreg alecha. Ubeir bazeh shlosh adorim. He says, hello. He's learning in this. Rashi and the other person learn halo im teitiv, if you will be good, se'et, I will lift, I will carry, I will forgive your sin. The Malban's chidush is that the Malban learns that the word se'et means gift. There is a number of places in Tanakh, mas'et and mincha is a gift. So God tells him halo im teitiv se'et, if you're going to give a better gift, it's not going to make a difference. Because la petach chatat roveitz, the sin is still there. It's not going to help if you're going to give me now an even more beautiful fruit basket. You have to correct it. There's something wrong with your whole approach. So he says that three things he's telling him here. Sheyetzer ha'alok. Sheyetzer ha'ra roveitz la petach v'tzarich ha'adam la'ayen al reishit kol ma'asav. You have to know that there's a Yetzihara that crouches near man, and man has to be careful with what he does. He should not permit the servant, the Yetzihara, to rule over him. Because he is there lying in wait. Anytime you just give him an opening, he is going to bring the poison of sin. Oto dialo, another thing God tells Adam, Cain, ki b'tzad ha'echad ha'yetze mishtokek eilecha lahachtiacha ulhoditcha mata. You should know that the Yetzer is not only waiting by the door, but more than that, the Yetzer Hara actively goes out in order to cause you to sin. He's powerful. He is clever. Three. Shebitzad Hasheni Atagesh Biyotka Ha'oz Vamisro Lemsholbal. Never lose heart, because you have the might, the strength to rule over him. Al Yedei Korach HaChofshiyut Asher Ba'Adam. Man is absolutely free. Nothing need necessarily overwhelm you. You have free will. You're a man of integrity. You have the ability to rule over your baser instincts. That's why man is called chavshi, free. If he will rule over the animal in him, lo im bahamto moshelet olav, not if his animal rules over him. Unbelievable! What an amazing parasha! It has so much of a message for each individual human being throughout all of history. You don't have to be a murderer to appreciate this parasha. There's so much, many amazing ideas, and of course the contemporary significance of the parasha. So what are you going to say when you're going to meet somebody? You know what you're going to tell them? Tav lebish, lo tavid. Good to a bad person you don't do. And in that respect, bish lo yim teilach, evil will not befall you. Okay.